Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. One more hour live with you tonight, and also online, and also not online. 11:20 a.m. And let me mention this to you. I'm just going to have to bellyache for a few minutes. I think you're used to this. We haven't really opened the phone lines for listeners tonight. So if you've been hanging on and you just thought, oh, I never had my chance to jump in, like you were waiting to play hopscotch in the playground and, you know, the girls are out there with the rope and they're swinging it and you're just kind of like trying to gauge the right time to jump into the middle of it. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you've never played jump rope. Did I say hopscotch? But jump rope in your entire life. Maybe the two of them were combined together. I don't know. This is your opportunity. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So here's my belly aching. I am getting so old. I opened up the pool yesterday, and I knew that it was going to be a warm week, and I knew that we're finally going to start seeing temperatures, you know, above 80 degrees, that it was time to do it. And for the longest time, it was inconsistent. And you're seeing highs in the 70s. And I thought, nah, just not yet. And then friends of mine online, I would see them posting photos of their pool looking all nice. And I really didn't want to move into a home here in St. Louis that had a pool because I don't like to maintain it and I don't like to swim. So I have zero interest into it, but I'm the one that has to take 100% of the responsibility of it. And I knew that would be something I really didn't want to do. So when we started looking for homes, obviously what happened? We fell in love with the house that just so happened to have a pool. But I shouldn't complain too much. My wife and son love to swim, and they swim all the time. And I know during the summer they're going to be in that pool every single day, which is great. So I take care of it, and ultimately it might give me about an hour of alone time inside the house while they're out swimming, which is pretty nice. But the hard part for me is always trying to get this thing going. And let me just tell you, I hate maintaining it. I hate having it. But I like that for the entire summer now that I've gotten the hard work out of the way, that all I got to do is clean it every morning for a half hour, 45 minutes, however long it takes to get the maybe half hour. And then I get an hour to myself. So is it worth it as a time investment? Probably not. But I know how much they like it, so it's worth it for an enjoyment factor for them. But when I started to work on this thing, I have to, you know, you got the pool cover on, and there's different leaves and gumballs and whatever that gets caught. So, you know, occasionally I would pump any water that just happened to be standing on top of the pool cover off, so there's not a lot of weight on it. But, you know, you can't get it 100% dry. You kind of have to wait for the sun to do it. But lately we've been getting so much rain, and it's the worst time for me to try to get that cover off because it weighed about 800 pounds. Sludgy, and, you know, I tried to scoop as much as I could off, but still it wasn't enough. And you know how old I'm getting? Again, I shouldn't be complaining too much. But just trying to pull the pool cover off and like deadlifting this wadded up pool cover with sludge in it, it felt like it weighed about 800 pounds. And I feel like I pulled every muscle in my body trying to do it. So today I wake up and I'm sore, and I've been sore all day. But the kid got to swim for the first time during the summer. He didn't care that it was freezing cold in there. He still wanted to go use it, and he was happy. So it was all worth it in the end. Now, let me mention this. The only reason I'm bringing this up is, number one, it's therapeutic the ability for me to come in here and bellyache. But the other side of it is I didn't have to go to the Lake of the Ozarks to swim. That was about, I don't know, a four-minute roundabout way to bring up the Lake of the Ozarks, because that video is still making its rounds and people are still talking about it. In fact, why in the world is Mayor Lyda Crewson and County Executive Dr. Sam Page out there talking about it on national media? Do they really need to go out there and try to make it into the networks? Are they really craving camera time so much that they got to hop on CNN or MSNBC? Is it really necessary for them to do that? Because ultimately, are anyone in the entire state going to watch CNN and they say, wow, Mayor Crewson really had a point. I'm not going to do that ever again. No, it's not going to be the case. Ultimately, going on and trying to shame, or in this case, be apologetic for our area, two things totally unnecessary to do on the national scale. Keep in mind that these national networks really do not have the local interest in heart. They could care less about trying to get information out to the people that live here or this, or even across the state. They could really care less. We're not their target. Ultimately, what they want is for someone in at least the region with some sort of authority to come on there and, you know, be the person that is to, you know, we're the insider and we agree with you, the rest of the states, that we are terrible people. Like, we need to have someone that we could beat up on or whatever on the inside to try to make it look like it's more of a big deal than it is. And I brought this up yesterday on the show, and I got to say, I'm just going to try to put this into perspective one more time. The whole perspective of, over the Memorial Day weekend, we had, what, 19 people shot here in St. Louis? We had a 14-year-old girl was one of those that were shot. Multiple people have died. And we're looking at a bunch of 20-year-olds swimming in a pool and getting too close to each other. And that's the national media narrative. And we have to go apologize for that, but we had 19 people shot over Memorial Day weekend. A year from now, we're going to remember those people in their swimsuits inside of the pool, swimming and whatever. And, oh, remember during the lockdown, there were those people that went to the Lake of the Ozarks and went into a swimming pool too close to each other? We're not going to remember the 19 shot. And what should we remember? What should we take away, and what should we really be working on in the city? Maybe that's what we should be focusing on. And forget about a couple hundred people or whatever it was in that giant resort-looking thing in the Lake of the Ozarks. Is that really where our attention should be focused right now? So how about I play these clips for you coming up? And as we found out, if you were caught going to the Lake of the Ozarks, your employer could say, see you later, alligator. They could fire you. They could, oh, I don't know, tell you not to show up to work. They could just furlough you, whatever it is. KSDK did a story on one person that found out the hard way that there are repercussions for them going out and doing things like this. But I think it also raises other questions. We're going to get to that coming up. And maybe we'll take some of your calls if you want to call in at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
And Overnight America is live for another, you know, half hour-ish. So you have some time to call in if you want. I heard that Mers Goodwill commercial about shoes made from coffee grounds. And I had to look that up. I thought, that's not a thing. Well, it is a thing. Apparently, they're eco-friendly shoes, use coffee grounds made from that in recycled plastic. You want to guess how much the used coffee ground shoes go for? Because in my mind, I couldn't quite comprehend how in the world you can take coffee grounds and make it into shoes. But apparently, you could basically add recycled plastic to anything and make something out of it because it'll help give it some form. They say it's odor-free, but I wouldn't mind having shoes that smell like coffee. I think that'd be pretty cool. Well, you got a bunch of probably stray cats and things coming up and licking your shoes then, but maybe odor-free is probably better. 100% waterproof, and they cost $120 for used coffee ground shoes. Well, not from Mers, but I'm saying if you were to go buy them new, who knows if you find one of these things inside the wild, if you'd even recognize this is something that's worth a lot of money. Because when I look at it, I don't necessarily see it as, whoa, that's an expensive shoe. I mean, it looks like, I guess it's all right. Man, it's the things you learn listening to the commercials on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. That's all it takes for me to get off on a sidetrack. I wanted to talk a little bit about what employers are starting to pick up And as we start to get back into work, some places have reopened their places of employment. And there's one instance where an employee was caught going to the Lake of the Ozarks. And boy, did his employer not like that one bit. Here's KSDK did a story on it.
Brandon Morano talked to one man from Lincoln County who says his employer is forcing him to stay home for 2 weeks.
Being single and living out here, it gets kind of lonely sometimes. So being social is something I do. I'm a real social person.
So seeing the waves of people at the lake and the waves of people packing into bars at the Lake of the Ozarks Memorial Day weekend was a perfect opportunity for Antoine Sinder to socialize.
When we just hit the Ozarks, I wasn't expecting to be that big.
Or so he thought.
Don't take me wrong. I took precautions. I had my neck gaiter on to cover my mouth.
Even then, when he got home, he found out his employer...
Did you say his neck gaiter? Is that a product? Did I hear that right?
On to cover my mouth.
Even then, when he got home, he found out his employer told him he'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks without pay.
All right, so the employer said, okay, yeah, you like going to the pool. See you later, alligator. Neck alligator, whatever. And that was it. And I think it's kind of fascinating. So... This is what I first thought of. I thought, well, if you have sick time, wouldn't you just be able to use your sick time for that? If they're just going to force you to go back, couldn't you just apply for it that way? Or can they furlough you for 2 weeks? Can they do it that way too? Is that just them using that opportunity to be cheap? Now, I understand that they want to be precautious in all of this, but here's a few things that they don't know. They don't know if the person, number one, was social distancing or not, but I guess if you were to post photos of yourself up online, and I'm guessing this is how they found out about it, that they were showing a very clear violation of social distancing or whatever it is. Now, you could do things and you can go out and whatever, and you could be smart when you do it, or you can be dumb when you do it. So if you're in the Lake of the Ozarks, obviously if you're in close proximity with a bunch of strangers for a long period of time doing all of these things, yeah, you're doing it pretty dumb. It's a dumb thing to do. But should you lose your job over it? That's a whole different story. I mean, and who knows if this turns into something that's more permanent? What if they say, never mind, we're just going to... It's a twist on a question that's been asked many different times of things. Can you be held responsible for what you do outside of your work? Now, if it's a reputation issue, yeah, I mean, that could taint your ability to be able to effectively do your job. Or maybe it's something that you're doing that the employer wants nothing to do with. Now, you know, imagine... you've seen this, and this is a pretty extreme example, but imagine you're a middle school teacher and you're also doing adult films on the side, right? Do they really have to keep you employed if that's what you're doing? Of course not. I mean, there is some sort of things on the back end or on your own time that could affect how you are employed in your main job. I get that. And even here at the radio station, I could be perfectly fine in the way I do the job. I could be someone that you like to listen to, but if I go out and do something totally irresponsible, and next thing you know, I'm making headlines in different news websites. Hey, KMOX radio personality got caught. You know, you think about the common ones, you know, drinking and driving or whatever, and you find that they're responsible for doing something pretty bad. Then yeah, they can look at me and they can say, well, we can't stand by this person. You just lost the public's trust. You can't effectively do your job anymore because of this. And those things could be a pretty serious repercussion. Yeah. Is that right? Producer Mike, Lida Crewson is on Chris Cuomo's program right now. Hey, pot that up. I'm curious what she's saying. Let's bring some of this up now.
To their own communities. And that is a very risky proposition. I know that they don't want their families to get sick. They don't want their friends to get sick. They don't want their grandma to get sick. But that risky behavior increases that risk every day. So it's certainly possible to go to the Lake of the Ozarks. And I know many people did who kept to themselves, kept with their own families, and enjoyed themselves perfectly well. But this group of folks that you see in the videos were engaging in very risky behavior, which affects other people, not just themselves.
One point of perspective on politics and then one on the past. The politics. Mayor, this is all about the D next to your name. You want to keep people at home and afraid because it screws up the economy, and you think that helps you guys beat
Cuomo's Trump. Such a loser here, so he's got to go to this immediately.
Power over people and their freedoms. That's what you Democrats are about.
Chris Cuomo,
the long game on the
give me a break.
And the short game of controlling people's freedoms because you love it.
Actually, I want people to be able to go out. I want our businesses to be able to open. And the more we're able to socially distance and wear masks, the more businesses will be able to open and the more people will be comfortable going out. This is a terrible decision between health and business because, frankly, we need both. And we can do both if we will just wear a mask. This is my mask that I wear most of the time. It's got a little St. Louis flag on it. We can do both. It's not that much trouble for you to wear a mask. The mask should not be the third rail of politics. It should be the way, the path to getting business reopened, because it's not just about that business owner. It's about all the people who work in those businesses who need to go back to work, who want to go back to work.
Yeah, all right. So I think I've heard about enough here. But, you know, she has been making some rounds, and I get that. But Chris Cuomo, of course,
oh, because you got the D in front of your name. The Republicans and the conservatives are going to come out there. And
shut up, Chris Cuomo. You got to give me a break on this. You got to always try to find a way to make it divisive. Well, it's so exhausting. So exhausting. Let's keep in mind, this is the guy that took his family out when he was positive for COVID-19. Eventually, other family members picked up on it. He was out in public when he should have been self-quarantining, caught doing it. Someone called him out on it because it was national news that he was COVID-19 positive. And then what happened? He ended up harassing that person that called him out on it in public. What a joke. You know, I used to have some respect for him, but he's completely lost it. Completely lost it. But here's the thing, and I will give Mayor Crewson some credit. And I believe that she handled the start of the quarantine properly. She wasn't trying to jump into it as fast as possible, like some areas did. And that's a good thing. She was slow to get out of it. So if St. Louis City and County were waiting to see what the state was going to do, and the state opens up May 4th, and they come back a couple of weeks later, yeah, they got back into it slow. But either way, they haven't gone as extreme as what you're seeing in Illinois. You got a Pritzker out there that wants everyone to wear a mask anytime you're out in public. Same thing going on in Virginia here soon. Governor Northam very much is endorsing bringing out the masks again. Maybe he still has his in storage from college. But we at least not at that point. So that's a good thing. And, you know, I do give her credit for not going overboard in all of this. 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. How about that? More national news. Do we really need to be talking Lake of the Ozarks with St. Louis? Do you know how far away Lakes of the Ozarks? I mean, I guess you could talk to someone from Jefferson City, and it's a pretty long drive, and it's not like it's right here inside of our metro area. I can understand if it was a little bit closer to us, but it's really not. So for some reason, if they got to go to St. Louis, maybe they're just begging for attention in some way that someone would look at them and try to get back up on the screen. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America is live for a little bit longer, and we hope that you're enjoying it. And if you do want to use that phone, you can always give us a call or text us. That's always good. Or if you want to like us on Facebook, that's even better. Oh, yeah. Ryan Recker Radio. That's where you can find it. A couple of other things with the Lake of the Ozarks. Dr. Garza, who's been doing the updates, the St. Louis Pandemic Task Force, he does these videos online, and he has someone there that also asks questions based on what people are messaging in or whatever it is. He addressed the Ozarks.
Before we get to today's data, I'd like to talk a little bit about those viral photographs taken at the Lake of the Ozarks this weekend. So I'm sure you've seen all the photos that have circulated throughout the media, both here locally and nationally, of significant gatherings of people without social distancing or protective measures to decrease that risk of transmission of the virus. Now, without a doubt, actions like these increase the probability of cases continuing to spread in the population and further risk needless suffering and potential strain to our healthcare systems. However, I don't want to dwell on the actions or overshadow the vast majority of people who did the right thing. They practiced social distancing, they wore masks, they didn't gather in large groups, and by doing so, they did their part to protect the vulnerable. We want to recognize and thank everybody for doing their part to help stop the spread of the virus. And we must all continue to remember that the virus hasn't left us, it hasn't changed, it's still here, it's still very contagious and dangerous, If we let our guard down or act like the virus is gone, it will continue to improve the odds of hitting our region again with a second wave. And those really hard-fought investments that we've made to suppress the curve will be wasted. I want to again remind everyone how important it is to continue to keep social distancing, isolate if you think you've been exposed, wash your hands, avoid touching your face, and all of those other things that we talk about frequently. We really do have an obligation to keep each other safe.
Yeah, so that was Dr. Garza addressing the Lake of the Ozarks. Now, I wonder how many of those were actually from this area, if any. I mean, we got that one that was on KSTK, so I'm sure there were some from this area that traveled out there. I mean, it would just be, statistically speaking, that would be likely. But how many of those were the ones that weren't paying close attention? Now, they asked that you self-quarantine if you're one of those that were at there. Dr. Page was actually on CNN talking about this, and how do you enforce the self-quarantine?
The way to enforce this is through our employers and through peer pressure. People need to make a decision what the best path forward is and understand that following our social distancing guidelines will get us there. And these examples we've seen across the country and then here in Missouri are the wrong thing to do. We're not ready to be in crowds. This virus is not in complete control. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we have to follow our social distancing guidelines, and we have to follow our public health orders. And not doing that puts everyone at risk, and we're working very hard to get that message out that we can't see and we don't want to see what we saw last weekend. And anyone that was involved in that needs to respect their community, respect the ones that they love, and isolate themselves and self-quarantine for 2 weeks and make sure that they don't bring this back into our community.
So like, let's say you're a doctor and you've been fighting this around the region. What would you more likely be scared of? Let's say 19 people shot over the weekend, or people coming back after going to a pool in the Lake of the Ozarks, and then you're worried they might be contracting or spreading COVID-19, just suspecting that they were too close to other people during that time. If I was a doctor, I'd pretty much fear the worst when it came to those shooting victims, including the children that were affected by this over the weekend. I think that's where we got to spend more attention on this. And it's not to say we've completely forget about the messages that are necessary to get out there when it comes to fighting this virus. But lucky for us, there's a lot of natural things that are going to be helping us, including getting into the summer, more humidity, like what we're seeing this week. It's going to be a humid week in St. Louis. It's going to be warm, UV light. All of these things are going to be playing major factors in helping, and maybe staying indoors is the thing that's going to keep the virus around longer. But if, you know, getting tested, I've drove around and I've seen different signs. There are drive through and other areas that are doing testing, and some even say free. I don't even know how that works or what they're doing or how they make it free. Maybe it's some sort of underwriting through the government or whatnot, but still, that's where we're at right now. We just have to be careful. We still have to wash our hands. We still have to be mindful of other people. And here's the thing. We don't have to go on an apology tour on national networks every time something happens a couple hours away from us here in St. Louis, like at the Lake of the Ozarks. Do we really find that it's necessary for us to go on an apology tour if you're in the city or county here? I don't think so. Not necessary. Let's look at a couple of other things that happened here. And I wanted to play a few other clips. There was one interesting one from, let's see. Oh, this is interesting. So the idea of reopening churches on NPR, they did a website, or maybe it was PBS, but yesterday we went through a couple of the risk scenarios. So they went through some things that people would be doing with the different lockdowns being lifted, or at least some of the restrictions being there. This is what I think would be important to point out. You can't go to church safely, but on websites they say that's one of those high-risk areas, because if you're singing and you're too close to someone, that could be an easy way to spread the virus. So you got to be careful about situations like that. Then they say things like shopping, for example, could be good, could be bad, depending on where you're going or how close you are to other people. Going outside and meeting with friends, low risk, you know, that's kind of what we're looking at. But there's been a lot of questions about churches reopening, and some places do not want churches to reopen. Some of them have put high restrictions on churches. And this was interesting. A reporter was asked or at least asked this during the White House press briefing.
I was asked 11 questions as to why churches would be allowed to reopen. It was a bit peculiar to be asked these 11 questions in a row and for the onus and the focus solely to be on why churches are essential. I've never been asked why a liquor store was essential, so I was merely pointing that out. And to the point about questioning the journalists and asking why they're not asking certain questions, I field hundreds of questions a day. Journalists are not above being questioned themselves. Journalism is a great and noble profession, but there's been a dearth of journalists asking the real questions for President Obama, the criminal leak of Michael Flynn's identity, who leaked that identity, the dossier which was used to launch a three-year investigation into this president and spy on his campaign. Why aren't those questions being asked? It's journalistic malpractice not to ask those questions, and I can count on one hand the journalists who are, like Maria Bartiromo and Catherine Herridge, but where is the lack of curiosity from the current press corps? There's an extreme lack of curiosity at play.
Ooh. Defending the criticisms, and maybe you've seen some of these different exchanges that have come up. And this is what they do. They ask the questions, and this is a very famous example of the type of gotcha questions. So it'd be like going up to someone and saying, when did you stop beating your wife? And what an insulting question, number one, but it gives the impression that you're out there, you know, beating your wife. And when you're asked a question like that, it's one of those gotcha questions because it's really no win. So you can go on the defense, but it gives the impression that at least there's a rumor that you're out there and you're doing things like that. It's such a dirty way. And really, is that journalism? I guess you can even debate that. But those are the type of questions you see a lot of members of the media throwing at the White House right now. One of those questions that was presented, and I might have to play the audio of this. Maybe I'll do that if I find that we have some time. But one of the questions was, how many people would need to die before you stop opposing mail-in ballots? How many more people need to die? And this is the same type of thought, these gotcha, lousy questions. And the journalists that are asking these sort of things aren't asking them because their journalistic integrity requires them to do that. They're doing that because they have a specific bias and they have a specific way that they have to get their message out there in order to either draw attention to themselves because they like what happens when they're up on websites. Oh, look at them. Or maybe, just maybe, they just absolutely don't care about the truth because the truth is secondary to whatever their motives or bias that they're trying to present. Let's go to Brad, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Brad.
Hi, Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
I know it's late. You're almost ready to turn the radio on and go to bed.
Turn the radio. Yeah, leave it on through the night. I love that song at the end of the show, but yeah, we're getting pretty
close. I know,
close,
man. I know you don't have much time. I just want to say, excuse my voice, I just had surgery and some radiation, so it's not back yet. Anyway,
well, that's fine.
The way they handle this stuff with the Ozarks and all this stuff, I'm a former bar owner.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a liquor license tied to you. And if you get too many police calls or people fighting or whatever have, you get too many calls or things going on, they pull your license.
Yeah.
So the way we need to do this is simply the cops on said they couldn't control all those people. You simply pull their damn license for a month, suspend the owner's license for a month, 6 months, whatever. You're going to feel some pain. That will solve everything, my friend. You understand?
Just pull their license. Well, that would be a tough thing. So how would you justify it? Wouldn't you have to have some sort of order given from the city or county?
Oh, yeah. You're not controlling your crowd. And you know,
I guess, but that's one of the things that they were mentioning, at least in this Lake of the Ozarks. They're saying that there's not a specific order put in place by the governor that would prevent them from doing this. Even though it's irresponsible and it goes against the guidelines, it's not necessarily something that's illegal for them to do, so the police wouldn't intervene or come in.
That's the easy way out. They're potentially carrying a deadly disease around with them. It could be anything else. It could be some kind of poison. It could be anything. You know what I'm saying? You can get sick. You get the message out real quick. The owners need to police themselves or you close them down for a month. It's just that simple, man. I've been there. I understand.
Yeah, we haven't really seen too much in that way unless people just haven't been reporting it. But locally, I think people have been taking extreme precautions and trying to do what they can. But that's part of the problem. We also found that it's been weaponized. So what happened when the county opened up ways for you to snitch on other
what
people?
What you do, you fight fire with fire, not to be gross or anything like that, or leave you on a bad note. I want to protect my family and your family. I'm going to take a bunch of good people down there, good people. And we're going to have an orchestrated, we're going to have a pee-in. We're going to go into that pool down there. At a certain time, we're going to all pee in that pool.
So you're going to be the one to contaminate it. You're worried about other people contaminating. You're going
to
be the contaminator.
You know what I'm saying? Make a point. The other people won't want to go down there, and then we'll give them the idea. That's how you handle it, my friend.
That's not how you... I know what you're saying is tongue-in-cheek. I get it.
It's tongue-in-cheek. It's tongue-in-cheek, but it makes a point. You understand what I'm saying?
But what I'm saying, too, in the county, look what they did when they came to trying to report other people that were violating these certain orders. And you look at this, so the information becomes public, and you find that other businesses were using it to target their other businesses, the ones that they're in competition with, the ones that they want to see get shut down. So they're using the government as a weapon.
You're right.
So that's one of the big dangers that you could go out there and find that if you're going to be pulling liquor licenses all of a sudden, oh, man, I can get a lot more business if so-and-so down the street doesn't have their license. I'll just keep reporting them until their license is revoked. And,
I used to have a cop, a county cop, parked outside my bar, and he used to be there at 1:30 when the people came out. Anyway, can I have 20 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not enough time to tell you what that program you did on Mr. Highland. I'm a 73-year-old vet, and I remember I lived everything that you put on that show, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get misty again. You get the 73-year-old guy, I had tears in my eyes listening to your presentation.
You enjoyed it that much?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It wasn't just me. It was the people that brought my memories back. My mom, my dad, grandparents.
Oh, wow. Well, you're going to love the next one. I'm going to start working on the Jim White one here pretty soon, so that'll be the next
special. I've got some contacts for you on Jim White's history, but I want to thank you. You have no idea what you did for so many people. You have no idea.
I'm really glad you enjoyed it, Brad. I'm going to make a lot more, and I'll keep you in mind what I'm making of it.
Ryan, thank you. You're a special guy. We're so lucky to have you. You've done so much to KMOX that you have no idea what you've done.
Well, thank you. That means a lot, Brad. And have a nice recovery here. Hopefully your throat starts feeling better and everything goes well there. Thank you very much. Oh, wasn't that a nice note? Thank you for that. 314-436-7900 is the number here on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
In Overnight America, on for just a couple more minutes, our replay hour, which will be coming up next hour. You'll enjoy our conversation with Chris Raby. We talk about the Blues. We talk about the NHL's plan to get back at it and try to start the season over again at the playoff marker. And we're also going to talk to Carolyn Miller. She's an author of a book called Forest Park, A Walk Through History. Pretty neat. And a lot of stories to tell on Forest Park. A lot of areas of Forest Park I have yet to go to, but I think that it's something you will enjoy with that next hour. Or you can actually go online right now if you want to download the podcast and hear my interview with John Wilkman. He's the author of Screening Reality, How Documentary Filmmakers Reimagined America. He's a great authority when it comes to talking documentaries. I've had him on the show before, and I reached out to him because I found that the most popular things that people are consuming during this epidemic, if they're back home and quarantining, is that they were watching documentaries. I think of the two biggest documentaries or two biggest things people are talking about. Tiger King for the longest time, and people are still talking about that. And the other one is the Michael Jordan documentary. So what are those things mean about the art form in itself, and why do you think so many people are turning to them as of late? So enjoy those. You can get the latter by going to kmox.com/ONA. Just a few things I wanted to bring up before we play our closing song, and I'm glad Brad mentioned it. It does get stuck in your head, doesn't it, sleeping with the radio on? There's two things. Jimmy Fallon was trending on Twitter, and I wondered, why is Jimmy Fallon trending? Well, this happened today. Here's the headline, Jimmy Fallon under fire for blackface sketch from 2000 SNL episode. And these things come back in cycles. People start to remember it. I don't know what causes it to reignite, because it's not like this has been a real hidden secret that some comedy entertainers in the past have done this. This is, you know, and I've talked about this time and time again on the show, and it's not really, I guess, the necessary time to bring it back up. But I'm just going to bring this. When Hollywood starts to go out there and they get this, they start creating this cancel culture. And it's not always people in Hollywood are the ones that's starting it. It's just people on social media. They get whatever type of vindictive mindset that they don't like someone. So they got to try to find something to bury them. And sometimes you got to go back 20 years to find something or whatever it is. And sometimes it's something, and a lot of times it's not even something that you should try to ruin them over. But, you know, people blow it out, and based on the social media reaction of either probably 50% of them being fake accounts to begin with, or someone that don't even associate it with their own name or self, so there's no accountability. Anonymously, they go out there and try to show that they're so outraged. Anonymously, they're outraged or whatever. You know, this thing has been around for a while, and there's a lot of other entertainers that have done something like this. But the thing that I find most interesting, or at least most poetic about all of it, is that those that have got into the crowd, that you have to be outraged over everything, and they try to make everything oh my goodness, can you believe what so-and-so said or so-and-so did? And they do that over and over and over and over again. And Hollywood is definitely the type of culture that finds itself doing that, because they're holier than thou when it comes to their opinions. And of course, they always hate whatever, you know, and a lot of times conservative values, or whatever Trump just said or did was the worst thing in the history of the world. And can you believe it? He's worse than Hitler. You hear this over and over and over again. When that same type of criticism is turned around, the things that they go out there and they are so holier than thou, and oh man, we're so above this. And then someone gets caught that has been doing it for a while. Then they're kind of quiet over it, because they realized that this is a way they've used to target other people, and all of a sudden it's come back to target them, and they don't like it, getting a dose of their own medicine. Now, keep in mind, Jimmy Fallon's not the only one to do this, and I'm sure he didn't do this in a vindictive way, or he didn't try to do this in a hurtful way, and he wasn't trying to be offensive by any way. He was in the sense of comedy. You know, Jimmy Kimmel did the same thing, but he did it many more times with Carl Malone. So it's just a matter of time before all these things get turned around. The comedians and entertainers I respect a lot more are the ones that just go above it all, the ones that try to ignore it and say, I'm not playing this stupid game anymore, trying to cancel and ruin someone based on something that may be a reference from years ago. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. Enjoy the rest of your night. We're back again tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I hope to see you then. Good night.
Beats. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.